is Greg Berger here along with Rick Moore, and this is Unfinished Music. And we are joined today by our guest, Brian King. So, Brian, thanks for coming by. And before we get into the conversation, why don't you hit us up with a tune? All right, let me get your effects going here so you sound nice.
Thank you very much.
Ooh.
We're in the cathedral.
All right.
Of the basement.
Yes, here in Unfinished Music in my unfinished basement. So, whenever you're ready, pal.
Somewhere between summer and fall, your expression changed, and that was all I needed to fall apart. To fall apart, I will miss your carnival kiss, your carnival eyes, and the lies I enjoy believing. I will miss your purr and your hiss, your carnival kiss, Somewhere between night and day, close my eyes and I heard you say you were leaving, so I clung to sleep like a safety net. I will miss your carnival kiss, your carnival eyes, and the lies I enjoy believing. I will miss your purr and your hiss, your carnival kiss, In this time, I will find a better reason for breathing. Our dialogue strayed, and the epilogue played on and 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 on. Now that the critics are gone, I will miss your carnival kiss, carnival eyes, and the lies I enjoy believing. I will miss your purr and your hiss, your carnival kiss, In this time, I will find a better reason for grieving and grieving and grieving and grieving. Your carnival.
All right. Very nice. Very nice indeed.
Thanks very much.
All right. So before we get into talking about your background, what's the song all about and the history of it?
It's an older song, but we haven't recorded it yet. I'm in a band called What Time Is It, Mr. Fox, and hopefully that will be on the next album. I wrote it a while ago, just inspired by, you know, a relationship that wasn't working out and, you know, thinking, well, you know, I'll take something from this and leave something. Musically, it's kind of over the top influenced by Angel by Fleetwood Mac. I don't know if you know that song, off of Tusk.
Yeah.
So that kind of feel, I was like, oh, I really like the feel of the song and want to write something similar. And so if they were played back to back, it'd be like, oh, okay.
No, I like it a lot.
Thank you.
Can't wait for the recording. So, like any good superhero movie, we should have an origin story. So, tell us about your beginning. I know that our first guest on the show was your brother Dan. So he mentioned there was it was a musical family. So growing up with music and guitars around, I guess it was inevitable.
Yeah, my mother's uncle was a great guitar player, and he taught a lot of local people. I think he taught Dave Brown and a bunch of others. Oh. I believe that's the story anyway. And so there were a lot of his guitars. He had died before I was born, but his guitars were around the house. And my dad had a Gibson and listened to a lot of music, mm-hmm. played a lot of music in the car and in the house. And so we all love music. My parents aren't super musical, but their parents were. So it kind of, you know, skipped a generation, but they're great listeners. You know?
Right, right. So who were some of your influences growing up? I mean, other than, say, your brother and family members, and the there was sound of, when Dan was here, there was just quite an eclectic mix of stuff being played at home.
Yeah, absolutely. And when I was growing up with Dan, you know, we're siblings, so we were a little, you know, little rivalry going on, yeah, when you're younger. So he was really into obviously like Dylan and the Stones and the Beatles were big, yeah, influences for him, the Who. And I was like, I hate all that music. You know, I was listening to Madonna.
Oh, yeah. Well.
But now, ironically, Dan and I are in an 80s band. It's called Safety.
Safety,
in,
sure.
In which we're covering Madonna songs.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I'm in my own band covering Dylan and the Stones and the Beatles. So yeah.
It's strange how that all comes back full circle. Yeah. So, well, one thing that on your bio I found interesting is the your song Cold Rain was on the Irma Thomas record, dating myself, recording. So what can you tell us about that song and its beginnings and how it ended up on her playlist?
It was it's a song that I wrote after a breakup, as no songwriter has ever done before.
Yeah, you gotta keep breaking up because keep these songs going. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. And I just wrote it and recorded it in Pro Tools and the house where I was living. Like the day, you know, I was feeling those feelings,
yeah, yeah,
and like, this is exactly what I'm feeling. I'm going to put it on tape or digital, mm-hmm, whatever we call it now. And then maybe like a few months later, I was playing it at a party that I had, and a friend of mine was in a relationship with a guy who's, Scott Billington, who's Irma Thomas's producer. He works for Rounder. He's been like, you know, head of A&R there, I believe. And, He liked the song. He said, "Oh, can I play that for Irma?" And I said, "No,
yeah, certainly not.
No, that would be terrible." So she recorded it, and it's an incredible honor. You know, I mean,
yeah,
she's a legend, and yeah. So that made the breakup a little sweeter.
Yeah. I mean, I guess having your tune on a Grammy nominated album is just something that a lot of us are never going to experience. So.
Right, and I don't know that I've even, experienced it. I remember just being, you know, here in Gloucester and be like, yeah, oh, that's interesting. Like,
yeah,
it's,
yeah,
you know, it's happening over there somewhere, but it felt great, yeah, and something that pretty.
How old were you
when you started
writing, when you started composing? How old were you?
Oh, the first song I wrote, I was maybe 6 or 7.
Mm-hmm.
I remember with my cousin Nicole, who lives in Gloucester with 5 kids, and we were hanging out as little kids, and she said, "Let's write a song." And I went, "We can do that? We can write our own song?" And she was like, "Yeah, why not?" And then I was addicted ever since.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's the process of learning how to play, Brian? You know, you talked about the musical family and singing and just writing, but the process itself to me is, it obviously escapes me. I've tried. But this is something that is inherent. You start early on, somebody shows you how to do a chord, and then you experiment. How did that whole thing work for you?
I think I'm a really good mimic, and that's how I've learned how to sing and how I've learned to write is, you know, if I really like something, I try to recreate it. Like, how can I make something like that? Like the song I played at the beginning is almost, you know, a complete ripoff in a way, but not that I, you know, I think I, at this point in my life, I have original ideas, but that's how I started. Just, you know, I think my mind, if it was on a record, it was real. So if I could, you know, recreate this, it's now real. It sounds almost like the record. That's amazing.
Right.
You know, and that's kind of where I went. I originally started with keyboard, just because a friend of mine had a keyboard, you know, he had bought one and I thought it was cool. And then I've saved up money and bought one, and mostly taught myself. Took a couple of lessons from Annette Dion, who's a local singer-songwriter, and she was like in her early 20s, and she was studying at Berkeley, so she gave me a lot of tips around songwriting and taught me about form, and so that helped a lot. But yeah, mostly trying to imitate the greats, and then kind of developing my own voice as I went along. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, yeah. No, definitely, because, you know, everybody does it differently. The other thing I want to ask you about is Dave Adams used to be the high school music director, and he worked with the Beach Boys, and he actually worked with the drummer for the Beach Boys. Now, I can't think of his name, but the guy who did all the he was on all the Beach Boys.
The actual drummer, not Dennis Wilson.
Right, the real drummer.
Yeah.
Hal Blaine. He worked with Hal Blaine. And but he was telling me about the harmonies of the Beach Boys, the family harmonies. Do you guys, or did you guys ever get into that? Did you ever harmonize together?
We didn't. No.
No.
That's you know that Dan and I have been on together being interviewed, and it's that question always comes up, like this imagining, like were you like you know
like
the Von Trapps? You know, like. Not really, no.
Well, the reason I say that is because yeah. you talk about the Beach Boys all being family. He right. worked with the Cow Sills all being family, and there was one other one, too. All family, and they have a particularly different harmonic sound, you know, compared to other people who get together. So just wondering, so...
Yeah. But that does make sense in a way. I think there is some sort of, you know, maybe DNA thing going on, because when I do harmonize with my brother, I think it sounds very natural, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And it could be that we just grew up listening to the same stuff or hearing the same things and just I've heard as each other's voices just speaking for our whole lives.
Right.
So we're probably like just in tune with it. But
right. There's always that I guess the commonality from siblings like the Gallaghers from Oasis from the Kinks, Davies, Ray and Dave Davies, you know, they sound similar. So it sort of. It's a natural blending of the two voices.
I mean, I can't even tell Nancy and Ann apart when they're singing apart.
Well, let me ask you, so before we go into one of the first recorded songs, so what is the your process for writing? Do you just sort of like, you're in the shower and an idea hits, so do you like sit down and say, I'm going to write a song, sit at the piano, or I'm going to pick up the guitar? Do you do lyrics?
All of it.
Yeah.
There's. I don't have a one method. When I was growing up, it was mostly, you know, I'd be in school all day and... kind of bored. So I'd be...
Oh, I really like to hear that. Thanks, Brian. Okay.
Especially
so I'd
math.
Be writing lyrics. Yeah.
Cool.
I'd have my notebook and I'd write lyrics and then I would, you know, set them to music when I got home. But now it can be anything. A melody can come first. Mm. I can be walking in the woods and something will come to me. And but usually the process is for my own writing. I mentioned, you know, Fleetwood Mac and Stevie Nicks early. She's a really good, a huge influence on me. And she said something in an interview where, you know, she's like, I don't make up stories. I write from my life. I don't think, oh, let me write a song about a guy and a girl. And, you know, she's like, no, she's compelled to write. And that's pretty much how I write, too. It comes from my life and something I'm trying to, like, figure out or grapple with, you know.
All right. Well, let's move on to one of the recordings you sent. Why don't we just go right down the list?
I'm just playing it underneath. I can start it again. You want to?
So, well, why don't we listen through it, and then you can tell us about it. And,
sounds good.
Why don't you just give us the title and say, hey, folks, here it is.
A Little Bit of Blue.
When you wake up and you feel so alone, I want you to understand, you're not made of stone. No, no, when you cry, know that not one tear, not one tear is in vain. 'Cause every single pain that you feel is your own. And when they tell you that your heart is just broken, don't you believe it, child, 'cause it's just breaking open. So let it break you open. 'Cause when the moon sheds its light down on the land, I can hold just a little light in the palm of my hand, and I give this to you, 'cause it's the only thing I know in this whole world that's true. I give this to you. It's just a little bit of blue. Right here, right here. just a little bit of yours and a little bit of mine. 'Cause when the moon sheds its light down on the land, hey, I can hold just a little light in the palm of my hand.
We're back, and that was a little bit of blue. So,
wait a minute. Excuse me, Greg.
Yes.
Did you have? Can I ask about the song?
That was the next question.
Okay, you go ahead.
So, what's the song? You know, tell us about the beginnings of the song. When you, how it came to mind. The writing, what influenced the song? Everything there is.
Very curious.
Yeah. Okay. what he said. All right. But you mentioned Madonna. Earlier,
yeah. Okay.
Okay? And
yeah.
I'm thinking, Like a Prayer.
Oh, right.
Immediately.
Oh, yeah.
Immediately
yeah.
when the kid started, you know, with that opening French thing about my friend. So I'm not sure what that
yeah,
is.
Yeah, it's actually an old French folk song called Au Clair de la Lune, and it's about Pierrot. It's mentioned the sad clown. It's basically it's something that a lot of kids like. You know, it's like the first thing they learn on flute or something like that. And it's also the first recorded sound of the human voice is singing that song that we have on record. I think it's a paper record.
Awesome.
Which I thought was really cool.
Awesome.
So the influence of the song was that I saw a film, a short film called Rabbit Moon, about Pierrot, which is a character, you know, old character in theater, the sad clown. And he, you know, he's in love with Columbine. But, you know, so he tries to hand her the moon, basically like the moonlight. It's like, here, take this. Mm-hmm. And she's like, no, thanks. And then she goes off with Harlequin and he's heartbroken. I simultaneously saw that. And meanwhile, a friend of mine, her husband was dying of cancer and she was dealing with the grief of that and that whole process. And I was feeling for her. So I just started, I learned that song and the folk song, started singing it and then started... I recorded it, like I looped it, and then I started singing those other lyrics over it. Just stream of consciousness, and
it's
that's
beautiful.
How the song came
it's
together.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome stuff. And yeah, right away it reminded me of Like a Prayer, and I'm not a big Madonna fan, but that song knocks my socks off. And the chorus, were you in studio, or was that pre-recorded?
Yeah, it was at the Bangasong studio in Gloucester, Tony Goddess's studio, and we brought in... from Rockport Middle School, the chorus kids, they're great.
That's
and
fantastic.
Now they're all like, and then we just sang with a bunch of them, and now they're all like, you know, in high school. Because it was a couple of years ago, it took a long time to finish the album. And we just played with them at the Shaolin Lu. And so a bunch of, you know, they're in the Madrigal Choir now, and a bunch, we're like, I didn't realize that until Nathan, whom I sort of cohort in the band, mentioned it. And we're like, oh, they're on the recording. That's amazing.
Can I ask one more thing?
Yes, you may.
You get your back to me, so it's hard. Usually yeah. We can have these hand-eye signals, you know, and we can figure this out. The show in Lou, though, I mean, were you there in the daytime or the evening?
It was the nighttime.
Okay, because what's your impression of doing... You're up on stage, I presume.
Yeah.
What's your impression of that place?
Oh, I love playing it. It's fantastic. I mean, if you have a full house and everyone's there listening, you know, to every word and every note. That's satisfying for a composer and for a player. You know, you just they're there with you, and it's like it's a real feels like a community of music. You know, everyone's responding, and you're getting energy from them. You're giving them back energy, and the space is, you know, it's gorgeous.
I want to ask both you guys this: how ego gratifying or ego deflating is it to play live? Because I'm sure that you experience the gratification more than you do the deflation. But I'll start with Greg, and then maybe ask Brian.
Well, I love playing live, but you know, I'm usually they stick me in the back next to the drummer, and everybody's in front of me, so. You know, but without the bass, you have no band. So.
Okay, but I, you know what I'm saying, don't you? It's not like you, sometimes you go to a job, you have a day job, you know, 9 to 5, whatever it is, and you don't know, there's no feedback, you don't know if you've had a good day or not. You really don't.
Right.
Whereas in music, I mean, I would think that you know,
right,
you're doing it.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because you'll know if you screwed up, you'll know if other people in the band screwed up, but the people still applaud because they don't know
for
the most part.
Yeah, they're responding to the energy, the enthusiasm, the feel. You know, people who are non-musicians, I mean, some it's usually some musicians in the audience going, oh, you didn't get that right, you know. But for the most part, yeah, if you can be a perfectionist up there and be like, oh, you know, I was terrible. And, you know, that can ruin your night if you're not
what kind
actually
of thing
in
does
tune
that?
With a relationship.
What kind of thing ruins you? Is it something just offbeat or is it missing a note? What kind of thing ruins you? It makes you...
You know, I think it's a mood thing. I think people, you know, musicians and artists are moody. So if you had a bad sound check and you're tense and there's all this stuff going on and you know you can't see the other players or you can't hear yourself, all those things can kind of throw you off. But you know, after years of doing it, you rise above it and just remember, like, okay, I'm here to make music and put on a show, and then you can get into it. But so I usually don't have those nights where I'm really devastated. But you know, occasionally, you know, you have a gig where you're like, that was all right, not my favorite.
Well, you know? Well, speaking of playing music, so what time is it, Mr. Fox? A very interesting name for a band. So why don't you tell us about that and how you guys got together and you know what your plans are going forward?
Sure, we got the name from there's a tag game that I played as a kid called What Time Is It, Mr. Fox? And after, you know, nights and nights of trying to come up with a name with Nathan Cohen and I, you know, I'd say, how about this? I'm like, no. So, you know, trying to compromise, I think I suggested it, and he went, yeah, I like that. That works. And later we got an award, I think, from The Noise or some Boston magazine for, you know, having the band name with the most punctuation. But it's stuck. We've been together for more than 10 years. Nathan Cohen and I have been making music. And it started with a guy, Mike Leggio on bass, Nathan Cohen and me playing Captain Carlos every Thursday for like a year and a half, you know, when they were open. And that's, and you know, Whoopi Goldberg was on the bar.
Right,
and that kind of, that's where we really got our, you know, our sound down, I think. And then Nate Greenslit joined in drums for a while. We had Kristen Miller on cello. And then it's just grown and grown. People have come and gone. And
right.
It's been kind of a, who's in this band, you know? And now we're pretty solid with Joe Cardoza on bass and Dennis Monagle on drums and Rene Dupuis on vocals and piano and melodica.
And there are a number of videos I found on YouTube. So if people want to get a taste, they can certainly go there. And, I usually save this to the end, but if people want to buy some music, how do they go about doing that?
Oh, they can go to whattimeisitmrfox.com, and then, you know, there's a music page and Bandcamp, but we're also on iTunes and Spotify and all those places.
All right, excellent. Well, why don't we hit one more recorded song before we move on to some more questions and a little bit of piano from you live. How about... Rick, could you cue up Helium?
Yep. Should I start it?
Just had a quick question. I love the video. Why don't you tell us about the video, which people can also get on YouTube.
It was really fun. So Nathan Cohen, who's in the band, his wife, Eileen Little, is an amazing trapezist and teaches trapeze locally, if anyone's interested. And she went to school up in Brattleboro at a circus school. So we went up there and just got all these circus performers to be in the video. And it was Emil Doucette did the direction, and Tommy Pappos was one of the cinematographers. And it was just fun. It was like an all-night shoot, literally, like you know, I think we were in that place for 24 hours straight, and we had a great time.
No, it's an excellent video. I mean, it's impressive. So if you are out there listening, Google or search in YouTube for What Time Is It, Mr. Fox and Helium, and you won't be disappointed. So, Rick, whenever you're ready.
Okay, here we go.
Flying faster than I don't know what, you're infecting me with your love. Heads on tails, and I'm so afraid, but I don't wanna see this fade away. Flying faster than I don't know what, you're infecting me with your love. I'm so excited, but I'm so unsure. Can I have a peek behind the door? Wings and willows, my soul billows. You're filling me with helium. High above the circus, will the truth surface? Will you tell me, is this really love? Secrets, I don't know your pain, but something tells me we're the same. And you say you love me, I wonder why. Will you drop me if I go too high? Wings and willows, my soul bellows, you're filling me. Surface, will you tell me, is this really love? Will the truth surface? Tell me, is this really love?
Okay, that was Helium by What Time Is Mr. Fox. So during the break, you were talking about, or during the song, you were talking about how it's difficult to say who you guys sound like, or what genre are you? So just for the folks who weren't in the room while we were talking, you know, maybe give a recap of that.
Well, it's been, you know, an issue as long as we've started, because as a songwriter, I love all different types of music. And when I'm writing a song, I mean, I'm not going to get, you know, metaphysical, like it's, you know, a gift from the heavens or something. But when I'm writing it, I just follow that, you know, bird or rabbit or whatever down the hole and just write the song. And whatever genre presents itself, that's what it becomes. Like, this seems right for this. Like, if it's jazz, or if it's funk, or if it's bluesy, or if it's medieval sounding, or if it sounds like German cabaret from the 1920s or something.
Right, right.
But it makes it difficult when people ask me, you know, what do you sound like? And, sort of like Tom Waits with a little bit of Annie Lennox and Amy Winehouse. some Fleetwood Mac. I don't know. It's like...
Well, yeah, I guess the beauty of it, though, is, I mean, if you go to see an original band and you've never heard them before, the problem that some will have is if you come in on the first song or the fifth song, to you it's the same song.
Right.
You know, you meaning the first-time listener. But this, if someone's were to sit through a What Time Is Mr. Fox show and you guys play five songs, they might get five totally different feels.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've actually said the one thing that I think is true is we're sort of like the New England weather in that way. So, you know, if you don't like this song, you might like the next one because it's not going to sound anything like the previous one. But
Well, that's a great segue into the next song. So why don't we try a little piano here? Let me unmute you. Give us a little try on the keys, see if we get something.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, let me give you some more reverb. All right. Can you give a quick check to make sure you got your reverb?
Hello. There we go.
Okay.
What do I want to do? Something happy or something sad? What do you guys want?
let's keep it feeling? On. Let's keep it, since it's raining out, let's do something happy.
All right. It makes my heart swoon when you enter the room, so you must be wrong for me. Sounds like champagne when you whisper my name, oh, you must be wrong for me. Although it may seem you've come straight from a dream, I know what that means. You've got Satan's genes. And you'll make a mess of my life, I guess you must be wrong for me. Heart in the past has led me nowhere fast, so clearly you're wrong for me. When I've taken the leap, it's into the garbage heap. Sincerely, you're wrong for me. Tempting to claim that you won't be the same as the others who've left me with nothing but shame. You know who you are. But I know myself and I know the game, and it's plain to see, baby, you're wrong for me. Never trust the heart you own.
That was nice. Had a bit of an Eddie Cantor sound to it. You know, or that 30s Germany you were talking about earlier.
Right. So on the one hand, on the other hand, it sounds like a New England version of a country song.
Oh yeah.
At least the
I still have my dog.
The story. There you go. Yeah, no, that was great. Very cool. And I was going to add, I was saving this question. I have to do an interview tomorrow, but I'm going to ask it of you. In that, you mentioned earlier mood, music, musician, and you just change the mood. It's gloomy outside as we record this. It's gray. It's very thick. You sang a really down song with an upbeat melody, and it just changed everything. It changed the whole atmosphere. So this is kind of a loaded question, and I'm not sure really how to ask it, but mood influences music, music influences mood. And what does that mean to you as a musician when you're performing? Does one come before the other? How does that work?
Meaning what mood am I in or what moods the room is in?
Either one.
When I'm playing live, I'm really trying to be in tune to the people there if I can. I mean, sometimes I can be totally wrong. I mean, there's been times when I thought everyone was bored out of their, you know, skulls, and a waitress came up and said, you know, oh, I didn't want to ask anyone if they wanted anything because they were so entranced. I'm like, oh, that's what was happening? Like,
that's nice
to hear. I thought they were, I was trying to be like, I need to wake these people up. And so, you know, you can be wrong in that regard, but usually I just try to keep it moving, you know, like it's like making a mixtape in high school, you know, like here's two fast songs and now a slow song. And but then you might get into something where you can get into like an era, or you can get into like a little suite of songs where, oh, I think we're going to be here for a while, you know.
Right. So for the younger people out there, a tape was a
cassette. Yes.
You could buy it at your local
you couldn't download
CBS.
It. You had to hold it in your hands. Interesting. So did you do a lot of mixtapes in high school?
I did. Yeah. No. And that's how I write sets as well. When I'm thinking of a set list, I'm thinking, okay, you know,
I got to follow up the song you just did, though. The juxtaposition between the lyrics and the upbeat melody.
Yeah.
Explain that.
It was sort of, I had a crush on someone, and I quickly realized that I have a pattern of having crushes on someone who's not good for me. And so I had humor about it in that moment. You know, I thought, you know what? I'm going to write myself a little Valentine as a reminder.
Like, perfect.
So,
perfect.
So,
I love it.
So crushes and breakups. I'm writing those down for...
That's my thing.
Now the
romantically challenged. Yeah.
So you mentioned when we were doing the sound check, the songwriting retreat you did.
Oh yeah.
So why don't you tell us about that?
Well, I just was on Thatcher Island. For those who are local to Cape Ann, know is where the Twin Lights are, two lighthouses off of Cape Ann, on the small hostile island that it's. Overrun with seagulls and is beautiful and dramatic. So I was there with friends Chelsea Berry, Nathan Cohen, who's in my band, Joe Cardoza, Rene Dupuis, and two friends from New York. Mm-hmm. And you know, we paid our dues by, you know, painting the inside staircase to one of the lighthouses, and just really tried to get inspired by the weather, by the island, by the water, by the view, by the history of the island, mm-hmm. which is. It's got a pretty dark history. You know, it's one of the only lighthouse islands that its whole purpose is to warn people to stay away, you know.
Right.
And it has that a little bit of that feeling on there. You know, the seagulls are not happy you're there. You know, like, this is our house. Like, what are you doing here?
But it's interesting you mentioned Renee. I just met her Sunday when she played with the sang with the Cape Ann Big Band.
Oh, yeah. She's
and
amazing.
It was unreal. I mean, and I'm guessing she's can't be more than late 20s. If maybe early 30s and playing that music that's, you know, outdates me, you know, goes back. Yeah. I brought my parents and they were enjoying it. I enjoyed it. Let me just get that out there. But it was the music they grew up with. And to see someone so young who's belting it out and really fitting in, it was nice to see.
Yeah, she's an extraordinary talent. I mean, she's classically trained, but she can also belt out the blues, mm-hmm. An amazing range, and just a wonderful human being. Mm-hmm. Both Joe and Renee, happy they're in my band because we have so much fun together, and they're relaxed and professional. And we went on a tour actually about a year ago. We went through the South, like, you know, we were in Kentucky and Tennessee, North Carolina, and, you know, stuck in a car just going down there and playing house concerts, and we had a great time. So they're wonderful people and yeah, great talents. Have you played with Joe? Have you heard Joe?
I've heard him. I haven't played with him, so it's...
Yeah,
I'm willing to play with anybody out there is listening. And as we said earlier, bass is the most important part of the band.
let me mention, Greg, you're listening to MSO News Sports. We're listening to Unfinished Music. We're at the Unfinished Music Studio. You got a tag to that. What's the whole thing, Greg?
This is the Beachbrook Studio. It's Unfinished Music, and we're at which is here in my unfinished basement. And it's Beachbrook Studio because Beachbrook Cemetery is right behind us.
Yeah, there you go. And we do this, you know, twice a month anyway, and we hope to do it more often. But we have live in studio guest. Our musical guest today is Brian King. And once again, we will mention how you can get a hold of Brian's music, but he's live in studio playing. We also have some of his recordings as well.
Right. And again, and to keep with the segues, let's listen to The Ladies' Tree. And while Rick's queuing that up, tell us a little bit about that.
I'm a little bit obsessed with Joan of Arc for, I don't know why, but maybe because there's a statue, like, you know, downtown. And I learned about her as a young kid. And during her trial,
she's not good for you, though, Brian,
yeah,
let me tell you.
No.
You could write a song.
Well, you never
her.
Know.
Okay.
Never know. She might come back. But she, during her trial, they kept bringing up this tree in her village where she grew up called the Ladies' Tree. And I guess, you know, kids would dance around it and sing songs and spring and stuff. And, you know, her interrogators kept saying, did you dance around the ladies' tree? And she was like, yes, so did the other kids. It was fun. Like, what are you talking about? And they were trying to kind of connect her to witchcraft because, yeah, you know, nature worship or something. And I don't know, just thought it was an interesting image to write a song about. So that's where it comes from.
Well, and now we have a statue of Joan of Arc. I always wondered what it had to do with Gloucester, but it had a lot to do with the Legion and World War One and France, yeah, and the relationship with Gloucester. So I'm told. So let's listen to the Ladies' Tree.
Her voices on the wind, soft whispers from the sky, sweet voices on the wind, echoing inside. I took up arms for war, arms for my country, took up arms for my France, and raised her up a king. Blood for my country spilled from the heart of me, shed for my country to raise up a king. Left by my country, now charged with heresy, a bargain for the enemy, abandoned by my king, they pile up kindling, flesh will be burning, they lay wood for my death and say they're men of God. I heard an angel, be good and go to mass, like my mother bade me, be good and love God. I heard an angel come down to counsel me, but they say no angel, they blame the ladies' tree. Blame it on the ladies' tree, build fires under me, murder maidens in the flames and say you're men of God. Flowers will fall now, white petals to the ground, just as these ashes fall from the lady's tree.
Hold on, now we're back.
Now we're back.
There you go, my timing was off a little bit. Sorry about that.
No problem.
Live radio.
You said you weren't a musician, so it's okay.
Yeah, you got that right.
It's all the timing, you know, that's the important thing. So, yeah, feel bad for Joan of Arc. She had a hard time, but, you know, the statue's all over the world for her.
Yeah, amazing that, you know, that her legacy lives on. I mean, she's famous. You
know, she's famous for being a martyr. Yeah. Nothing the matter with that. Anyway,
man.
Yeah, we need the snare for that.
Yep.
Do you want to give us another song on piano? And then,
sure. Yeah. I wrote this song called Seaport Blue. It's inspired by a friend of mine who I would see him on the street and he would say, you know, I'm getting out of Gloucester. I'm moving to Ithaca next week. And I'd be like, oh, okay, cool. And then I'd see him a month later on the street in Gloucester. Oh, I'm getting out of Gloucester. I'm moving to San Francisco. I'm like, cool, that's great. And then a year later, I'd see him on the street. And she's like, I'm moving to New York. I'm like, okay. You know. So now he's my roommate. And he's a sweet guy. But I was kind of inspired by the seagulls on... mentioning seagulls again in Gloucester, and also the songwriter Laura Nero, who lived in Gloucester for a while. This is kind of in a vein of her songwriting, and it's about, you know, a love and discomfort with Gloucester. Seaport blue, winged scavenger, I'm just like you. Thank you.
slur, and the beach traffic and a timeline blur. Seaport blue, wing scavenger, I'm on to you. Good from far away, but my war blanket and my heart says stay. But my soul feels caged by a vice grip, mine, and my feet say leave that blanket behind. Leave it behind. Seaport blue, winged scavenger, I'm scrapping too. I caught pneumonia and a waistband scar. Got the dream fever to reach a mainland star. Wherever I go, I got my feet in this harbor. Pull the chain out, let it drain out all that red tide water. Wherever you go, you get those sea lungs dry. Make a wish and blow those tall ships down. Or at least try. Seaport blue, wing scavenger, I'm just like you.
Nice. I jotted down the lyric. Pull the chain out, let the drain out. That was excellent.
Red tide. You know, that's the. I don't know, when did you write that song, Brian?
A few years ago.
Maybe I think that's the 21st century version of We Got to Get Out of This Place.
And
it's funny. I'm so glad you brought that up. Do you play that when you do it live? Do you get a you play that one live? And, you know,
I don't play it a ton because you have to be kind of in a room where you know it's people are listening. to hear the words.
And it's so also it's just so Gloucester, man. That's really cool.
Thank you. Yeah, I kind of threw all the different things in there. You know?
Well, as a former teacher, you know, I would tell the kids, go see the world. I mean, my dad retired here, and this is the most beautiful spot on earth. Go see the world, and go across the bridge, as they say, right?
Yeah.
You'll be back.
Well, what's interesting is a lot of my closest friends now in Gloucester didn't grow up here. They are people who found Gloucester later, and I've been able to see it through their eyes, and I've also traveled as well, so... It's now it's a gorgeous place and I live here and it's great. I can get in the city, that's easy, but I can still go to the ocean and enjoy it. But when you're a kid, and you don't really fit into the social norms of the small town mentality, then you're like, get me out. You got to spread your wings a little bit, yeah.
Well, you mentioned some of the newcomers to Gloucester, so I'm just going to mention Chelsea Berry because every Christmas, I should say for the last three Christmases, I've shared on Facebook the YouTube video or audio of the two of you doing The River, Joni Mitchell's tune.
Yeah.
And I think that's spectacular. You guys do a great job on that.
Thank you. Yeah, we had a wonderful time recording it in my parents' attic, and we had both had just recently gone through breakups, another breakup reference. So we were feeling it at that point, I think, and it was, it shows in the music, and it's such a gorgeous song.
Right. So another one, when you're Googling folks out there, you're Googling What Time Is It, Mr. Fox, also Google Brian King and The River. So it's a wonderful song, a wonderful rendition of the song. So what have you got coming up next, Brian?
Friday. What's that date again? You guys know. Friday the 12th. I'm going to be at the UU Church in Gloucester, outside on the lawn, actually, which is, you know, it's a beautiful spot, mm-hmm. with Nathan Cohen on violin. We're just doing a duo thing, and there's two other players, and I was actually at a party singing with one of them the other night, and her name's Chris, but I can't remember who she's playing with. There's been some changes. It was going to be somebody else and it mixed around. Anyway, and after that is Salem Jazz and Soul Fest. We're playing at 12:30 on August 20th, Saturday. That's a fantastic festival. Have you been to that?
No. Soul Fest, huh?
That's Jazz and Soul Fest.
Where is it in Salem?
In Salem Willows. And it's, you know, they have great food vendors and art vendors, and there's a big crowd, big stage, and great players. So, and that's wonderful. And then we're going to be doing 3 hours at the Harbor Loop on the 25th. Thursday the 25th, yeah.
And what time is it? MrFox.com is where they can get more info and listen to some music, buy some music.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, by the way.
Oh, no problem. We really appreciate you being here. So we're going to wrap up with Humpty Dumpty Girl. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that while Rick cues it up.
Yeah,
interesting
sure.
Title.
I know. It's usually people get a little laugh like, huh? it's inspired by you know, friends of mine who I found were kind of getting themselves into trouble or self-sabotaging a lot. I mean, I say girl, it could be guys too, you know. Yeah. It doesn't have to be a girl, but it just, you know, it's fun to sing that word. And yeah, that's what the song's about. You know, just kind of wanting those friends to you know, get better in a way.
All right, so here it is, Humpty Dumpty Girl.
You're a Humpty Dumpty Girl, sitting high upon your wall. You're a Humpty Dumpty Girl, you want the world to watch you fall. You like the boys to reassemble you, glue you into something new that don't resemble you at all. Scattered on the ground like crows, they gather round, and what a mess they make as they choose which pieces to take. You're a Humpty Dumpty Girl, sitting high upon your wall. You're a Humpty Dumpty Girl, you want the world to watch you fall. You like the boys to reassemble you, glue you into something new that don't resemble you at all. And you tell me all is well. There ain't no man can crack your shell. I don't wanna be unkind, but the next time you fall, there won't be nothing at all left to find. You're a Humpty Dumpty Girl,
a Humpty Dumpty,
sitting high upon your wall. You're a Humpty Dumpty Dumpty, you want the world to watch you fall. You're like a boys to reassemble you, glue you into something new that don't even resemble you at all. But if you want someone to rescue you or to protect what's left of you this time. You better keep up that watch.
All right, we're back. That was Humpty Dumpty Girl. And before we go into our goodbyes, you, Brian, you wanted to mention one more plug there.
Oh, yeah, thanks. I'm doing a show not on the North Shore, actually in Cambridge, in Inman Square at a place called the Lily Pad on August 27th. And that's at 9 o'clock. It's in a variety show called All Together Now. With there's going to be a dancer. There's going to be other musicians, a band called Hemway. And it's a, you know, it's a great series started by Anna Ray, and I'm really excited to be part of it.
Great. Well, and we're really excited and grateful for you coming in to see us today, and we hope to have you back sometime in the future and pass the word.
I'd love to, and I will. Yeah, definitely. Thank you.
All right. So what we have up actually coming up next on August 31st at 3 o'clock is Charlie Bianchini, and we're really looking forward to that. So, and I'm going to give a little plug for myself here. My band Moonraker is playing Friday the 12th. So after you go see Brian on the lawn at the church, come on down to the Mile Marker at 8 o'clock. My other band, The Wave, is playing our 30th class reunion at the Mile Marker, too, the next day. And then Moonraker will be playing at the Dog Bar the night of the block party on Saturday the 20th. So we hope that you will see us there, and we hope that you will tune in to hear us next at the end of the month with Charlie Bianchini. And this is MSO News Sports and Unfinished Music. So thank you very much. We're having a little trouble here with the audio, but...
All right, so would you want me to take over here?
Well, yes, you take over while I queue up again.
Okay, MSO News Sports, our guest today on Unfinished Business, the incomparable Brian King, and we've got Greg Verga in his Unfinished studio. I'm Rick Moore. Don't forget, we got football coming up in a couple of weeks as well, plus all of our latest news and sports information, along with entertainment information right here on the website. Pass the word along, will you, please? So you want to play your outro, or you want me to take it out?
Yeah, why don't you take it out? Because
I'll do that. All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it. We will see you all later, and thank you for being with us. This is MSONewsSports.com.